This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. There are parents of girls who swear that although they do nothing to encourage it, their bold and inquisitive little daughters hit the princess phase. That's when every game involves dressing up as a princess and the color pink rules. Mary Flanagan wants to encourage these little princesses to become leaders. The artist, writer, inventor, and founder of the Tilt Factor Gaming Lab at Dartmouth has designed a new board game that challenges the heirs of a fictional throne to compete using intelligence and bravery and strength. It is called Monarch and is now raising money on Kickstarter. And Dr. Mary Flanagan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, before the specifics of your new game, more on this kind of pinkification of children's toys, as you call it. Now, what does that mean?
It means taking something that might be interesting to, across genders and really targeting it towards girls. So when I was in high school, my father bought me colored screwdriver sets that were pink because he thought, well, you know, I might like that better. And I really wanted the nice Stanley kind because they had a very long warranty. So being a practical person and having an adventure tinkerer kind of life, I've always really resented as a consumer and as a person this oversimplification of who we are through products. And so I've really, you know, I grew up playing Legos, and we all know what happened with the Lego story.
The pink and purple girls' Legos.
Right. So I like to just see what happens when we don't do that, when we really leave open the play space to allow some to allow youth and to allow adults to really explore identity and all of its intricacies.
So I know that you are a researcher as well. Is there any research linking these kind of gender-designed toys and what girls do become interested in, or boys?
Actually, there are some really interesting data points. In 2004, there was a study about playing with Barbie, and researchers found that playing with Barbie actually reduced the way girls could think of their own careers. This research is actually still coming out now, the kind of ways in which we're really shaped by culture, not just games or computer games, but all the things around us, all the representations around us. In fact, representation of like hyper-sexualized women in video games has been linked to believing rape myths. So, like, misunderstanding what rape is actually linked to the way that we see women in games. So these are some pretty big cultural questions that we have going on here.
Well, tell us about Monarch, because it's interesting. You, on the one hand, are talking about how that princess phase or the pinkification is detrimental to the way that girls think. But at the same time, Monarch is about the heirs to a queen, your princesses.
Right. We try to avoid using that term just because it's easier. It doesn't bring as much loaded baggage. But yes, you are playing as sisters vying for the crown. But really, I was really inspired to create this game from looking at women leaders, actually, through history. You know, in part, this was all inspired by my historical research in chess. And there's a really interesting scholar, Marilyn Yalom, who wrote a book called The Birth of the Chess Queen, and it really tracks how the woman on the board, the queen, appeared. You know, she was not an original member of the cast
of
chess.
No, I didn't know that.
And she appeared, the first chess queen appeared in a set that was found in Lewis Island in the 1100s. So Yalom traces the way the queen became a powerful figure on the board to the way that medieval and Renaissance women became more powerful in society.
Let's also talk about the artwork and the strategy and what goes into putting a board game together. It's a lot of work. You've got a lot of pieces laid out here in front of us.
Yes. Well, there are two kinds of ways that people start to design board games. One is more of a mechanics-centered approach, like I want this functionality. And then one is more a theme approach, which is the content. So I tend to be a thematic designer. I really want to match what's happening in the game, what players are doing, to a big picture idea. And so that's what I'm really interested in. Monarch became what it is through a long series of play tests with a lot adults and children. Every week I was changing something about the game and adding a new feature or changing the balance of numbers of cards and things like that. But Monarch is a game where you, as a player, can use different kinds of strategies to show your worth in ruling the lands. So you rule responsibly, you rule cleverly, and you're able to win.
What was your observation about men playing this game?
Oh, well, that's exactly what we did research on in my research lab, Tilt Factor. We, as the game was being developed, we started asking this question of like, well, do you think we can really get away with using only women as the kind of player characters? And a few hardcore gamers and game publishers actually said, no, we couldn't. We're not in a place where everyone could play as a girl, which is very strange when you think about what's happening in literature, for example. I mean, I don't think only girls, for example, are reading The Hunger Games.
Right.
But there's a little bit of a hesitation on that in board games. So we decided to run some studies. So we did research in a bunch of New Hampshire, Vermont middle schools and high schools with only boys playing the game. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that players, male players who are playing the game, actually, when they get into the characters, actually like the game more than when they're playing as just regular players.
Mm-hmm. This is a board game with different options. You know, there's a level of choose your own adventure based on what is happening, changing the nature of the game based on the choices you make. And why did you not design an electronic game for Monarch?
Well, more and more I've been finding, and this is true in my research, at Tilt Factor, we've done several studies about analog versus digital games. We're among the few people who care, actually. So we've done the same game as a digital app, and we've also done it as a board game. And we've found, particularly in a game called Pox Save the People, which is about vaccination, that under the same play conditions, players will actually speak to each other less with a digital game between them than they do with a board game. And they also agree with each other, and they lose the game far more often.
Hmm.
So there's a lot less, I dare say, critical thinking happening when you translate some kinds of gameplay from analog to digital games. And in this case, it was the exact same game played in the exact same conditions. So we do see these differences. I'm really interested in conversations. I'm really interested in people sharing a fantasy world together and creating it, co-creating it. And sometimes a good platform to do that is a board game. And we see this with the increase in board game sales, board game interest, board game cafes. People want to talk to each other and play together.
Mary Flanagan is with us. She's talking about a new game that she's designed called Monarch. She's founding director of Tilt Factor at Dartmouth College. That's a theoretical and practical lab that studies how people play and respond to games and create games for change. Well, so Mary, you mentioned the game Pox. I'd love to know how one designs a game for a public health crisis.
Yeah, well, Pox was designed in 2010, between 2010 and 2011, because a New Hampshire public health group came to the lab and said, you know, we could make another brochure about vaccinations. It doesn't really seem to change hearts and minds. What would? And I thought, well, play. So we created this game that has members of a community out there, and a disease spreads through time, and players work together to stop the virus. So it's a strategy game. It's a little like Go, but a little bit different. It has a 1-4 player kind of setting, and then we decided to move that to an iPad game, and we decided to reskin that game as a zombie game. So we have three versions. We have Zombie Pox, Pox, and Pox Digital. And then, of course, we did studies between them because they're exactly the same game on different platforms. And of all the platforms and all the games, we found that Zombie Pox was actually the most effective at getting people to think about the value of vaccination, even stating they would donate money if they had the means to vaccination, and having people become more empathetic towards those with chronic illness. All that came from a zombie version of the same game. So sometimes outlandish stories, sometimes the most strange stories that distance ourselves from our everyday lives are the most potent as far as belief and behavior.
So Mary, you're talking about designing social games and games for change, as they are labeled. This is something that you do a lot of at Tilt Factor. What goes on there?
Well, Tilt Factor has been around for over 10 years. It's a game design research lab, and it's a place to ask questions about games, games and learning, games and social impact, and not only ask those questions, but create prototypes, test them, and even produce games. So we go anywhere from asking questions about other people's games to asking questions about our own games, and then designing games that actually meet social needs. So, for example, we invent games that can actually lower social biases and discrimination by playing them. Even party games can actually carry psychological change within them.
I was reading a blog post by someone who had seen you. He watched you speak at a conference and heard your frustration about these quote-unquote educational games and games for change not having enough challenge, not having enough strategy, enough to hold you. What keeps people playing Monarch?
What keeps people playing Monarch? Well, I think because there's a lot of responsiveness in the game system to people's strategy. And you can see, you can chart your own progress really, really well. Monarch is not a, you know, it's not a themed game. It's not saying, oh, play this and you will now be this kind of person. It is really about the fantasy world. It's really about staying in that world, building up your court. The court cards have a little bit of humor. There's a good mix of challenge and strategy built in. And, of course, there's cooperation and healthy competition with your sisters. You know, games model problem solving. So if we have these intractable global problems and we play games as a way to kind of think through how we think, what if we made games that dealt with more complex systems in a better way? How, you know, not just like, I won, I killed everyone. But like, okay, I won because I managed these three things and made these four people happy and made this happen. I mean, the cause and effect of the world today really needs to be modeled better in the games we play.
There are Kickstarter campaigns for a lot of board games right now. As you said, you know, it's having a kind of moment in our culture. And I noticed that some of the top earners – Robot Turtles, Bones 2, Zombicide, you know, $2 and $3 million. You're looking for $15,000. Do you think that when you label a game for change or as a learning tool or as a social game, that it diminishes its appeal?
I think it might, which is why this game is not really addressed that way. I mean, and also I think that is because historically games for change haven't always been the most interesting games. I mean, we're inventing a new field. So some of the games that have been invented, you know, they're not so great. A lot of games aren't so great. They don't stick around a long time. I'm trying to make games that do stick around, learning from our mistakes, what we do as a field, and then moving forward into pop culture. So it's really important that the games be cool games first and then, you know, have their social effects as well, because all games do have social effects.
Mary Flanagan, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Mary Flanagan, she's an artist, she's a writer, inventor, and founder of the Tilt Factor Gaming Lab at Dartmouth. You can find a link to the Kickstarter page for Monarch and also more about the Tilt Factor Lab at wordofmouthradio.org.